I heard on the radio this week a debate about the increased security at European airports flying direct to America. I don't know if you heard that. You're going to have to now, at the security gate, you're going to have to switch on your phones and your computers for the security guards to prove that they work normally and that they don't contain explosives and so on. Otherwise, if you can't make it work, then they'll take it away and explode it for you, just to check. And the security experts on the radio were explaining the danger from Al-Qaeda's new master bomb maker who can hide explosives away in these things. But there was one brave commentator who sort of stood out against the pack and gave an alternative viewpoint. He said that we should set a limit to the security measures we put in place. He said, what we've done is we've raised security to the level of an absolute good that nobody's allowed to argue against. And in the process, our lives, our travelling, has been made miserable. Now, he was quick to emphasise, we certainly ought to have security, of course. But also, we should set a limit, consider where it should stop. And he made an excellent point, I thought, that people die in car crashes on our roads every day, but we don't ban cars because of it. Cars are just too convenient, and we like driving them too much. The presenter paused for a moment, and he said, "Ah, yeah, but there is a difference," he said. "People survive car crashes, have an explosion in an aeroplane, and that's fatal." Oh, you thought, good point. But then the chap came back at him and said, "Actually, that's not true," he said. "Air accidents happen that are not fatal. People do survive air accidents." And some people argue that terrorists have won the battle because they've gained publicity, they've changed our lives. Our everyday life has been disrupted because of them. I thought it's an interesting example, isn't it, of risk aversion. That you could multiply examples, couldn't you? Children shielded from dirt and infection, not allowed to play outside in case someone snatches them. But experts agree that the actual risks to children are less today than they ever have been in the past. Health and safety, elaborate precautions before you're allowed to use tools these days, goggles and masks and ear defenders and everything. Child protection. People are terrified, aren't they, of, well, frankly, touching a child in case you get had up and thrown in prison or whatever. What is it you're allowed to do? We're not quite sure anymore, are we? And so children sometimes grow up without touch, without hugs, without love because of it. Now, I know Jimmy Savile and Rolf Harris certainly did wrong. But might there be a danger in becoming obsessed with safety as well? On Friday night, here in this building, we conducted a risk assessment. We went down the checklist and tried to work out what are the real dangers and risks and so on. And we agreed there are some risks that are significant and worth protecting against, but there are plenty more that are frankly not worth worrying about. One of the things I love to do is go out with people driving to, for the Institute of Advanced Motorists. And we talk about the hazards, the dangers on the roads. We keep to the left as we drive on the roads so as we don't hit the oncoming traffic. Of course we do. But then if there's parked cars or pedestrians or a dog running along on the pavement or something, then we move a little bit to the right to avoid the danger. And then if we see a lorry coming towards us, then we move a little bit to the left. We balance the risk from both sides. We've tried to develop ways of measuring risk, but it's not easy to quantify. It depends on people and on how people behave. And I think these days it's becoming harder for us to judge what the real risks are, partly because we are safe. We're not so familiar with danger and what happens. There are people, aren't there, who rebel against our risk-averse culture, who seek out danger, who go skydiving, or who go rock climbing without ropes. I watched a TV program a few weeks back about young men who climb up half-finished skyscrapers and then tiptoe out along the girders. Have you seen those programs? And then hang from one hand above 1,000. I had to foot drop. I had to turn it off. I couldn't watch anymore. I thought, what happens if, I don't know, if you lose your grip or if you get... I thought, I can't watch that. Sometimes we dodge cars, don't we, on the A120. People even dodge trains on the railway line. We go cycling on our roads, and sometimes we forget to wear a helmet, or we forget to have lights on at night. Are we aware of what the real risks are in our lives? Sometimes I think the biggest risks of all pass unnoticed. We say, oh, I'll do that. That's okay. That's acceptable. A little question for you. What do you think are the big risks in our lives today? What do you think are the big risks? Let's have some answers. Why not? What do you think are the big risks that we face?
Terrorism.
Okay. That's scary when it happens, isn't it? But to be honest, it probably doesn't happen very often.
Yourself.
What, me personally?
No, me.
Oh, good. Oh.
Because it's not telling what you would do in certain situations.
That's true, yeah. Maybe you've had that experience. You thought, I'm doing something really silly. Why am I doing this? I've gone off my rocker. yeah, okay, we do silly things from time to time, don't we? Let's admit it. Yeah. Okay.
Complacency.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, I think actually particularly for children, sometimes they just assume that everything's going to be all right, don't they? And you see them doing things, you think, don't do it. You know, don't walk into the road or whatever. But yeah, complacency, and adults as well. We assume things will be fine. Yeah, any other risks?
Playing Germany at football.
Playing Germany, yeah. Don't do that. Yes. Dangerous stuff. Well, are we well out of that? I don't know. yeah. Yes. Risks. Yes.
Trying to get over the
A120 on a busy day. Yes. Yes. Has anybody ever crossed the A12? It's not illegal, but it's, yeah. Yeah, that's a major risk, isn't it? Yeah. But the A120 is a more regular thing to do, isn't it? Trying to cross that. Do use the crossings, do use the islands, please. Because it's only got to happen once, hasn't it? Like terrorism, and you're a goner. Thank you. Shall I tell you what I think is the biggest risk of all? It's actually on the front of our notice sheets. Jesus' words. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus told his followers to focus on the biggest choice of all, the biggest risk of all, the biggest issue of all, whether to give your soul to God and gain everything, or whether to try and keep yourself under your own authority and your own control and be Lord of your own life. And Jesus says the result is, you'll lose everything. Some people have said that faith in Jesus is spelt R-I-S-K. Well, in a sense, it is a risk, isn't it? There are times, aren't there, when God calls us to stick our neck out, perhaps to go and talk to a neighbour, perhaps to, I don't know, go on a treasure hunt with soul, or perhaps to invite somebody to an event, to our men's curry night on Tuesday or something. But what's the real risk with that? It's not like Iraq or Syria where Christians are killed for their faith. The worst risk for us is usually a little bit of embarrassment, maybe, or somebody saying no. The big risk is not giving ourselves to God, is not accepting the offer of Jesus. Do you remember the rich man that Jesus talked about who had good harvests one year and it wouldn't all fit in his barn? So he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll build a bigger barn to store the grain. And so he built bigger barns and he accumulated more wealth. And Jesus said, you fool, tonight your soul is required of you. And he died and he learnt his lesson. Or the other rich man who feasted every day, and there was a poor man outside his front door who longed for just the scraps from his table. And the rich man hardened his heart and said no. And Jesus said he too learned his lesson when he died and faced his maker. Jesus tells us that this question, this issue, is the biggest risk of all. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me, for my sake, will find it. Think for a moment, what might that be like to find life? To give your soul to God and to find abundant life, life in all its fullness. I thought just at the end of a sermon, as a little reflection, I thought you might enjoy a song. And I've not given you the words, but I have got them, so if anybody wants the words afterwards, do come and ask. But let's just listen to the song, If I Give My Soul.